If you take God's word this morning, let's turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to talk a little bit about a man by the name of Lot. I'm sure each and every one of you have read many times this particular passage of Scripture. But as you know, what we're reading this morning is actually what you can be reading in the newspaper, or what's happening actually in our world today. When I first read about Lot and just put my focus on chapter 13 and 14 and eventually get over to chapter 19, my first reaction is that Lot needs the Lord in his life. Just the things that, the decisions that he made, the choices that he made, the direction that he made, reveals a lot about his heart. And my first reaction was, you know, Lot needs to have a personal relationship with God. What I want you to do, I want to read chapter 13, verses 10 down to verse 13. Then I want us to skip over to 2 Peter just for a second to show you that Lot was a man that at one time had a strong relationship with God. Genesis 13, verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt," as you go down to Zoar. "Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." Then if you would, let's go all the way back to the New Testament book of 2 Peter. And if you would, look with me at chapter 2. I will read verses 6, 7, and 8. The New Testament gives us a whole new insight on Lot's life, on where he was. And notice it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and learning their lawless deeds." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity of looking in your word today. And Lord, thank you that we can go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and read that Lot at one time was a man that walked with God, a man that loved God, that man that had convictions, a man that served the Lord, had a passion for God. But something happened. Something happened. He got caught up in the world system. And so it is today, Father. Again, we need your protection. We need the Spirit of God to always remind us, Lord, who we are, to make sure that our priorities are spiritual things such as reading the Word and praying and coming into your church on Sundays and Wednesdays, of sharing our faith, of the things that we know that we ought to do. And how important it is, Lord, to make sure that our prayer time and our Bible study time is a daily thing that we do each and every day to gain wisdom, to gain insight, to get to know you more, get to know you stronger. Father, to help you teach us the direction that we need to go in, that we might follow the Holy Spirit and always be in the will of God. And so, Father, I pray as we look at this story today, a real live story about a man who got caught up in the system and how easily it can happen. Father, may we see the seriousness of this story and that we might always caution and be on guard, renewing our hearts, refreshing our spirits, and Lord, making sure that we're walking with you, walking in the will of God. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If we go back to chapter 12, just to get a little background, the Bible says in the first couple of verses of chapter 12 that God made a covenant with Abram. And he told Abram, "I want you to separate from this country. I want you to separate from your family. I'm going to show you the place that I am giving to you." But the problem that we see is found in verse number 4. And of chapter 12. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him," and the problem is, "and Lot went with him." And so Abraham's not starting out in a good situation here. He's not totally being obedient to the Lord, because now he's taking Lot, his brother's son, with him. But one thing I love about Abraham, every time we see him, He's always building an altar to God. He's always spending time with the Lord. And the altar is symbolic of his worship. He wanted to let people know that he was open to the Lord. He was walking with God. He didn't mind praying. He didn't mind worshiping. He built an altar to worship the Lord. We find that in verse number 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord. Then if you'll notice also in the next verse, verse 8, "And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." And so we see that he's actually doing well. He's walking in the will of the Lord. He's worshiping the Lord. But there was a problem. There became a famine in the land of Canaan. And that wasn't something that happened several times. You remember even in Joseph's life, there was going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And so we find a problem in verse 10 where they went down to Egypt. Now, Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt is a picture of the world. And they went down to Egypt, and things began to happen in a negative way. Instead of Abraham now walking with the Lord, now he's thinking in his mind, "And I'm going to tell people that Sarah is not my wife, but my sister." And so he gets into trouble there. But yet we find him coming back saying that he built another altar to the Lord. And so he's sort of like us. We falter, we make mistakes, we sin against God. We go and we confess. We want to worship him. We want to praise him. We want to get in right standing with him. So we see Abraham, he's following the Lord. He has struggles, he has difficulties like we all, but yet he's worshiping the Lord. But yet the Bible says in chapter 13, they finally came out of Egypt. But the problem that I want you to see this morning and get this down, Abraham got Lot out of Egypt, but he didn't get Egypt out of Lot. I don't know how long they spent there, but things didn't go well. We find out that Lot became covetousness. He had that lifestyle of covetousness. He was very wealthy. He had herds. He had gold. He had silver. He had jewelry. And all these kinds of things, not bad in the sense, but they corrupted his thinking. And he had Egypt within him. He dealt with the world too much. And so we know good and well that Lot knew about Adam and Eve, how they sinned against God. We knew that Lot knows about Noah, what happened to Noah before God destroyed things. We found out the days of Noah was wicked, ungodly things going on. And Lot really knew how to live his life. But yet, I don't know if he forgot. I don't know if he got ignorant. I don't know if he laid aside his spiritual life, and that Egypt was so prevalent in his life, so strong in his life. But we find a man that once was strong, once that walked with God, now has difficulties. And so what I want to stress the importance of this morning, there's a battle out there. I don't know if you know it or not. This world system is after you. We know it, as a saved person, the world cannot take our soul, but yet the world can influence us if it may. If you don't believe it, look at your television set. Can you imagine what your great-grandmama would thought if she was living today and saw what was on television? The things that our world is accepting, the lifestyles that they are accepting, the sin that's being accepted, things that are right or not right, things that are wrong or right, it's a total situation. And that's why it's important so much to stay in the Word of God. And we find in Lot's life, getting messed up in the world cost him a lot. And I'm afraid in the same instance, we must be aware that we must make our spiritual lives a priority before the Lord. The first thing I want you to notice in our passage is, what did the world do to influence Lot? First of all, it snared his faith. It snared his faith. Look, if you would, in the Bible says that verse 4, to the place of the altar which Abram had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He was a praying man. He was a seeking God man. But yet we find out that there became a little friction. That's the first thing I want you to notice. There was friction between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And that's how it began. It may not seem a whole lot to you, but that's how it started. And they began to bicker. And Abram, as a godly man as he was, you know, said, Lot said, let's not let this happen to us. Let's no division among us. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose what land you would like, what direction you want to go in, and then I'll choose whatever is left over. And so the second thing I want you to notice his focus. In verse number 10, he lifted up his eyes and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Notice he saw. You know, your eyes can get you in a lot of trouble. We saw it happen to Eve in Genesis chapter 3. She saw that the fruit was good. Lot saw. And see, Lot's looking at the physical. Lot is looking at the material. Lot is looking at the world. He's not allowing the Spirit of God to help him to make decisions. He's not. You don't find him praying to God. You don't find him setting up an altar of worship. Oh God, show me the direction that I need to go in. I don't like this division. Don't want this division. We want to be in harmony. We want to be in unity. But Lord, please show me the direction. No, the Bible says he looked and it looked very well. The water was great. Well-watered place. And notice it says he chose for himself. He was a selfish man. And he decided on his own, this is what I want, knowing what Sodom and Gomorrah stood for, knowing the wickedness, the perverseness, the immorality, the ungodliness that was in those two cities, he still chose to go in that direction. So the friction led to the focus, which led to fellowship that was broken. I think the most terrible thing that could happen to these guys is the end of verse 11, they separated from each other. Here Lot was willing to choose ungodly men rather than Abraham, a godly man. And so we see that Egypt has really influenced his life in an unbelievable way. Again, being covetous, being greedy, being selfish, wanting what he desired, the direction he wanted to go in, not praying to the Lord, not choosing to build an altar, not worshiping God, not seeking His face, deciding upon himself what he wanted to do. And the sad thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, decisions that are made in the present definitely affect folks in the future. And he didn't realize that. He was only focusing on the here and now. And so we see that the world snared his faith. But it gets worse. The second thing I want you to notice, the world stole his family. The world stole his family. Now, what did Egypt steal from Lot? First of all, it stole his convictions. At one time, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 8, they used the word oppressed. In other words, he was deeply moved. When he got into Sodom, we'll see that in just a minute. At first, he was deeply troubled on how they lived. And then before it's all over with, he was accepting the way they lived. And you know, isn't that the way the world's working today? By throwing up different commercials, by throwing up different sitcoms, by throwing up different things, sort of testing the waters. And you know, what we thought at one time was horrible, now sometimes we may think it's acceptable. You know, the world is crafty because it comes from the power of the air, the prince of the power of the air, Satan. He's crafty. He's deceptive. And that's where the world system is. And you can't help but see it, whether you watch TV or just in the world yourself, going to school, going to work. It's out there. It's confronting us. That's why it's important for us to stand strong. That's why it's important for us to be full of the Spirit. That's why it's important for us to study the Word of God. That's why it's important for husbands to lead their families in the way that they should go, lead their children in the way that they should go, making godly decisions, trusting God, seeking His will and not our will. It's not all about us. It's all about Him. It's worshiping Him. It's praising Him. It's glorifying Him. It's loving Him. It's not about us. Jesus so loved us that He gave His life willingly on a cross. And so here the convictions that once Lot had now became senseless and sensual. He began to accept the way of life that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, it started off with a look. It says again in verse 10, he saw. Then we find out in verse 12, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Look, if you would, in chapter 14, verse 12, they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son. He dwelt in Sodom. And then in chapter 19, verse 1, which we'll get to in just a minute, we find him at the city gate. Now, what does that mean? That means that he was either a counselor for the city or a judge within the city. So he had gone from looking to pitching his tent, now dwelling in Sodom, now becoming a part of the citizenship that was there. And so he lost all of his convictions of what he truly believed, of what he had learned from Adam and Eve, and what he had learned from Noah's age of what was going on, how God says, I will not let men strive this way. But yet he lost his convictions when he moved in and became a citizen of the place. I guess what gets me is when I go to chapter 19, let's turn over there. It says in verse 1 that he was sitting in the gate. Again, that's what counselors did. That's what city officials did. That's what prominent citizens did. And in fact, in verse 9, the statement is made, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. So he possibly could even have been a judge there in Sodom and Gomorrah. So we know the story that two angels came in the form of men to warn Lot about what was going to happen there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Lot says, listen, you guys need to come and stay with me. And they said, no, what we're going to do, we're going to stay outside the city. And he said, oh no, you need to stay with me. You need to come into the house and stay with me. He insisted, the Bible says in verse 5, he insisted strongly. And see, that brings my thought back. Okay, Lot, you know exactly what's going on. You know the depravity that's going on here. You know the sinfulness. You know the ungodliness. Why have you not made a difference? Why did you go into that place and give in to the world system? Why did you not stand and teach and influence and impact your wife and your children, your daughters, and their two married husbands? Why did you not teach them the ways of God? Why did you not teach them the principles of God? Why did you not stand in the power of the Holy Spirit? He gave in to the world's system. And so here are these two angels in the form of men warning him. Now I want you to see something. I mean, I cannot believe that Lot has gotten this place into his life. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. In fact, in verse 5, these people of Sodom and Gomorrah said, you know, let these two men come out that we might know them carnally. We might know them sexually. And then all of a sudden, he says in verse 6, He calls these men his brothers. Lot? He says, my brethren. It gets worse. Look at the verse. My brethren, do not do so wickedly. Verse number 8. I have two daughters. He's fixing to offer up his two daughters to these ungodly men to do whatever they wanted to do. Now, what kind of father would do that to his own kids? But it says there in verse 8, see, I have daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. That's unbelievable. He has got so much of the world in him. I mean, he's living just like the world. So it stole his convictions. But second of all, it stole his children. If you read the story, again, the angels are warning him over and over again, I'm fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They are ungodly, they are carnal, they are fleshly, they are worldly. It must be destroyed, and you need to get your family out of there. Now, if you would, look at verse 12. The men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. Here's the key. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. You know why? Here Lot tries to be spiritual. He's trying to be serious. He said, listen, the Lord has spoken. He's going to destroy these two cities. We need to get out of here. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether he had any sons or not, but we know he had a wife. He had two daughters, and they had married too. And so there were six of them. So here, now he's warning his family, we've got to get out of here. But the problem is, he's lost his family. They're not listening to anything he's ever said. He's had no quiet time with them. He's not instructed them in the Word of God. He's probably not even talked to them about Adam and Eve and the sin of disobedience and rebellion. He's probably not talked to them about the days of Noah. He's caught up in the world. He is carnal. He is fleshly. He is worldly. And what the way his life has been lived and what's come out of his mouth has not been of God. And so now he wants to warn his family about what's going to happen. But he's lost them. And I've heard families over the years of ministry, they would come to me, oh, Brother Rick, could you help us? And the bad thing about the family sometimes, the family expects the church to resurrect what they've already put to death. Oh, can you help me? I can't understand why my son's not in church. I can't understand why my daughter does not love God. And you know, I don't want to be ugly, but I want to say, I do. You didn't lead them in the way of God. You didn't tell them the church was important. You didn't tell them that Bible study was important. You didn't tell them to read the Word of God. You didn't tell them to meditate upon truth. You didn't teach them to pray. You didn't teach them to share their faith. You didn't teach them to come to know God, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're reacting because of the influence that you have led them in all your life. I mean, you don't want to say that to them. But in some cases, you've got to. And so that's why I warn. I go over in my mind, in my heart, of how the world is dangerous, is crafty, is subtle. It wants your children. It wants your wife. It wants your husband. It wants your grandchildren. It wants you, if it possibly can. Thank God it can't affect our salvation, but it can affect our influence. It can affect our impact in this world. And it's sad when we lose. And so Lot, it gets worse and worse and worse. He's lost his convictions of what he really believed. He's lost his children. Third of all, he's lost his courage. Here in verses 15 to 22, he's talked to his sons-in-law. They think he's a joke. He's got to be kidding. And from the verses that we read, continuing verses that we read, the angels called a lot, said, you need to get out of here. And I guess one of the saddest things about it is the Bible says that in all that's going on, in all the warning that these angels give him, Lot still hangs around. The Bible says he still lingered. Lot, what's wrong with you, man? I mean, here's a chance to start to get things right. Get out of there. Spare your wife. Spare your daughters. We find out when the rough gets going, I guess the sons-in-law thought it was such a joke that it didn't move them. It made no difference in their lives. So I guess they burned up with the city. Because we don't find them heading out like we do with the wife at first and with the daughters. But Lot begins to start begging the Lord. He's trying to talk the Lord into doing something different. And he lost the courage to stand strong and be the man of the household and do what God had called him to do as God led him. But the angels had to constrain him. They had to grab him by the arm and the hand and lead them all out. See, it had gotten that bad. They were in deep. I mean, they were in the philosophy of the world, the ideology of the world, the passion of the world. And you know, the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Amen? We're not of this world. We should not be. We should not be of this world. We ought to be salt of the earth. We ought to be creating a thirst for Jesus. We ought to be the light of the world, shining out in a dark place that people would see Christ in us. We are not of this world. We should not love the world. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, do not let the world conform you or mold you into its image. That's exactly what Lot allowed the world to do. The world had molded him in what they wanted him to become, and he had yielded into it. He lost his convictions. He lost his children. He lost his courage. He lost, fourth of all, his choices. I wonder if we were here to have Lot today and say, Lot, let me ask you a question. Was it worth it? Looking at that beautiful land, looking at all that water for all those herds, having gold and silver and jewels and all these things, Lot, was it worth it? I can almost say he would say no. That's why it's important for choices that we make. Because what follows choices is consequences. So like the old guy that jumped off the cliff, on his way down, he thought, you know, this wasn't a good idea. Lord, could you forgive me? Please help me. Splat City. Consequences. In fact, Dr. Stanley always had a principle that you reap what you sow, more than you sow, later than you sow. There are people today that think because they think they're getting by with sin right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're not ever going to get away. You're not ever going to get away where you sin. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. And so Lot lost his choices. And then, fifth of all, Lot lost his companion. You read the story. Continually read in chapter 19, in verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She had the world in her as well. She had the carnality in her as well. God says, listen, when you leave this place, do not look back. Do not look back. But she did. The third thing I want you to notice is the shaming of his future. The shaming of his future. Now, what makes this really neat is at least one positive thing is God wanted to help him out. God wanted to help him out. He talks about that in verses 30 to 36, or 27 to 29, I'm sorry. And yet he still didn't listen. God tried to help him out again. What's that? That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. That's when I think about Judas. Remember the story when Judas is bringing the soldiers, when he's already denied the Lord, he's bringing the soldiers to capture Jesus. And can you imagine that he had the audacity to go up to Jesus and kiss him on the cheek? I really believe Jesus was giving him another chance to repent. That's grace. Grace is God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is he doesn't give us what we do deserve. And so God, once again, tries to help Lot out. But notice, if you would, in the story, his girls humiliated him. The older girl said, you know, there's no men around. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get our dad drunk, and I'll go in first. I'll lie with him, have a relationship with him. So she did. Then the second night, she came to the younger. She said, okay, it's your turn. We'll make him drunk again. You go in, you lie with him. There's no men around. You know, we need to have a family. And of course, she went in. They had relationships together and both got pregnant. And the sad thing about it, if you'll notice in the scriptures, the two nations, or two sons, were called Moab and Ben-Amin. Two of the most unbelievable nations in the world that attacked Israel was these two nations. You see, sin has its consequences. They humiliated Lot. And I guess the sad thing about the whole story is, as far as Old Testament-wise, you don't hear a whole lot. That's about the last thing you hear. And, you know, I thought, you know, that's not a great place to end your life. I don't know about you guys. I know Jesus is coming back. Amen. I know Christ is coming back. And you know what? When he comes, I want him to find me faithful. I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yeah, I want him to find me reading the Word. I want him to find me on my knees praying. I want him to find me sharing my faith with a family that needs to know about the Lord. I want him to find me walking in a way that's pleasing unto him. I want to end well. And it's a sad commentary when we read the life of Lot to see that he at one time, strong, righteous man, that at first just didn't tolerate what was going on in the cities. But then as days went by and weeks went by and months went by and years went by, it didn't seem to bother him a bit. Until these two angels arise and warn him about what's going to take place. Now he's ready to get spiritual. He's ready to get his family out. But yet he still lingers. And they had to drag him and his family out. And he ended up sleeping with his daughters. And that's about all you hear about him. I sure am glad 2 Peter 2, 6 and 8 is there. I'm glad that at one time he trusted Christ. At one time, or trusted God, he put his faith in God. And God saved him and changed his life, but yet he had a choice. Am I going to continue to walk in the way of God? But he got caught up in the world system, the ideas, the philosophies, the lifestyle of the world, and became carnal and worldly and fleshly and covetous and greedy and selfish. And he died making a terrible influence and a terrible impact. I pray to God that in every one of our lives, whether you're a father, husband, mother, wife, young adult, youth, you're a leader. You're leading people to Jesus or you're leading people away from Christ. You're influencing for Christ or you're not influencing for Christ. I tell you, that's serious. And my prayer is today that we would get serious about what God has to say and the route that we need to go. Because you know what? The world has no clue. The world has no clue at all. They just know that through TV, through computer, through just day-by-day life, that they're working in the lives of people, trying to influence them in the direction that they see fit. But I pray that we're strong and discerning and studying truth and living out the life that we ought to live, that we might influence for God's sake and for His glory. And I pray that still, I believe that revival is still in the way. I think America, we need revival. I believe it. I believe it. And you know, it starts with individuals and it starts with His churches. And that's where we need to pray. And we pray for God's revival. We pray for God's wisdom and discernment that He would lead us in the way that we need to go. Let's pray together. Father, it can be a depressing thing. All this week reading about Lot and the choices that he made, and unbelievable, Father. And Lord, it just stirred my heart this week, Lord. It just stirred my spirit this week to be a better leader, to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better pastor, to be able to be one that warns. Lord, I don't want anybody in this congregation, Father, I don't want anybody to be lost without Jesus. My prayer is that everyone could come to know the knowledge of the truth, that Jesus is Savior, He's Lord. He desires to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, my desire also is, Lord, that men and women and boys and girls, Lord, would be spiritually strong in their faith, spiritually strong in their studying of the Word, spiritually strong in their praying, effective praying, making an influence in the lives of the people that are around them, whether it be at the workplace, whether it be at the ball game, whether it be at the school, whether it be at the grocery store, the gas station, whether it be at Walmart, whether we might go, Father, making an influence in a positive way. Because people are watching us, especially if we proclaim to be Christians. They're watching us. Some question, some desire to try to trip us up, try to deceive us. But Lord, that's why it's important that we might trust totally in You. Father, we might just trust in You with all our heart and lean not on what our understanding might be, but focus on You. And Father, I pray that in this coming rest of this year and the first of 2020, if it be so, that, Father, we might want a desire to be a healthy Christian, sound in faith, sound in truth, a healthy church to make an impact. And Lord, I was thinking about Abraham's prayer. Abraham was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. He was praying for the world. He was praying, yes, Lord, he asked you if there'd be 50 people, would you save it? And you said yes. Then he said, if there'd be 45, and you said yes. He said, if there'd be 40 righteous people in that city, would you save it? He said, you said yes. He got down to 30, he got down to 20, he got to 10. Lord, there were not even 10 godly, righteous people in the city. And that made me think, if God were going to destroy Arlington, Georgia, how many righteous people would he find here? How many godly, strong spiritual men, women, boys, and girls would he find in our city? Father, I pray that you'd lead us to pray for revival, to pray, Lord, that the lost would be saved. Pray that the saved would be strong. And that, Father, we would see revival beginning in us individually, in a church, and going out into this city of Arlington and even further out in the state of Georgia. Father, thank you so much for the Word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to make good decisions, godly decisions, and we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, if you would. Do something a little bit different this morning. If you would, stand. And every head bowed and every eye closed, please. And let's pray together, because I believe this is a serious time together, making decisions. If you just pray, bow your heads and pray. And as deep plays, if you need to come today and just be honest and say, you know, I'm not even sure if I know I'm saved or not. May this be the day that the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, would bring you to the realization that Jesus loves you and died for you, that you might have life, that you might have everlasting, eternal life. And, you know, it may be most of the church here is saved and you know Jesus, but let me ask you a question. What kind of impact are you making today as you pray? What kind of influence? Do you need a refreshing? Do you need a renewed spirit today? You need to come and say, you know, I'm not where I need to be. I just need to come and pray. Lord, I'm not where I need to be. I want to make an influence. I made some bad choices in my life. And Lord, I just want to come and just renew my spirit again. I just want to pray and seek your face again. And as she continues to play, would you just make that decision? No one's looking around. That's between you and God. It's a time to be serious about the direction that our world is going in. Would you come and say, you know, if nothing else, would you come and pray for revival? Would you come and pray, Lord, for me? Pray for the church. Pray for some that you're dealing with, people that you're talking to that need Christ. It's a time of seriousness. I just can't overemphasize, folks, because this world is out to get your father, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, your children, your grandchildren. And it's time for us to get serious about praying. And trusting and believing and saying, oh God, help me to be the husband, the father, the mother, the wife that I need to be. Help me to set the example that my children would see Christ in me, that I'm teaching them the Word of God. I'm getting them to memorize Scripture. I'm getting them to learn what prayer is and how powerful prayer is. Lord, just thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us, Lord, to pray and seek your face. And Lord, as we continue to listen to the sound of the music, as we listen to the voice of God today, help us to make decisions that will give you glory and that will give you honor. Oh God, I pray for strength. Lord, we need discernment. We need to know, not necessarily the difference between good and bad. We do need to know that. But what about good and best? I think sometimes we sacrifice the good for the best, and you want the best for us. And Father, I pray that we'll seek that. Lord, what is your will? Some need to pray, Lord, what is your will for my life? What direction that I need to go in? And so, Father, I thank you that we can come and just pray and just lift up the name of Jesus. said. Amen. You may be seated.